This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
We just been having a remarkable conversation with Lisa Beeney. Welcome, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Got a load of questions left over from last time, but also I know that there was something in the news recently about funding.
Yes, we've received funding from the Household Support Fund, which is from the Department of Work and Pensions, to provide energy essentials packs and home visits to people on the island. So the energy essentials pack contains a heated throw, energy saving light bulbs, the radiator foil that you can put behind your radiators and reflect that heat back into your room, and also draft excluder strips.
Oh, right. Just something that caught my, you know, the stuff that you go beyond the radiators.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a sheet that you just cut to size.
Yeah.
You slide it down behind the radiator and you can fix it to your wall with whatever you choose to fix it with. It could be as simple as blue tack or sellotape. And that reflects the heat from the back of the radiator back into the room rather than it going out through the wall.
That sounds like common sense. So is that like a Baco foil or something like that?
It's slightly thicker than that. If you can imagine a cross between tin foil and bubble wrap.
Right.
So silver shiny bubble wrap is what it looks like. So really, really easy to do, but it will make a difference to the cost of your heating.
Okay. And if people are interested, obviously, in the funding side of things, how do they get involved?
Just email us at info@greeniow.org.uk and we'll send you a link to a little form to fill in online, and we can then arrange home visit and energy essentials pack.
Just because I was, as soon as you mentioned the radiator thing, I lost my focus on the rest of the thing. So what else was available?
There's energy saving light bulbs,
right?
Draft excluder strip, and a heated throw. So you know the really lovely fluffy blankety things that you just plug in and it keeps you lovely and warm.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I haven't got one of those, but I've looked at one of those for Christmas for someone. But that sounds like a good idea at all. Okay, fantastic. And to get in touch, obviously, you know, we've had a taster of autumn.
Yeah.
It's not cold, but it's going to get cold. I mean, bearing in mind, Aviemore, as we mentioned, in Scotland, 4 degrees. In the next couple of weeks, temperatures are going to drop. And, you know, you might be thinking about putting on your heat in, and you might be thinking about, you know, I've got to keep warm. Now's the time to really sort of get in touch. So those details, again, are...
If you email info@greeniow.org.uk or phone us on 01983 668 900. And if we're not there, just leave a message and we'll get back to you.
Okay. I've got some questions here. And we had some left over from last time, but I can't remember which set I actually asked last time. So I got a funny feeling these are the ones. So what are the most cost-effective green energy solutions for the average household?
Sort out your existing heating. That has to be the most cost-effective, because if you can turn down the flow temperature on your boiler and bleed your radiators, you can save yourself 10 to 15% on your existing gas bill, and it hasn't actually cost you any money. So that has to be the first thing to look at. So things that you can do that don't cost you anything.
Okay, and I should point out that you haven't seen these questions.
I haven't.
So there was a bit of a gap in there, but what I love about that is you don't know what the question is, but you've come up with the answer. So I'm going to chuck another one at you, if that's okay.
Yeah.
How much can switching to renewable energy sources like solar or wind actually save homeowners over time?
Hundreds of pounds a year. And at home, we're now coming up to the end of our first year with the heat pump, the solar panels and the batteries. And we both have electric cars that we charge, and our total energy bill for the year is going to be under £1,000. So less than £100 a month for absolutely everything, including charging the cars.
Wow.
So the savings are considerable.
And you think, on a day like today, if you've got the old roof panels as well, if you've got those, sun's just come out, you're now making money or you're creating
even
something.
Even when it's grey, so long as it's daylight, they're still generating something.
Mm.
So the average kind of background use at home, so just you being in the house with the fridge running and maybe a few lights on, is about 300 to 400 watts it will be drawing. And even on a cloudy day, your solar panels will be producing that. So even on the in the winter, they're covering that background use. So it's this trickle in of electricity that you're using in the background all the time.
And you just imagine, we've just had there's a water shortage and everything.
Yeah.
So that suggests that we've had a heck of a lot of sunshine, which means that, you know, every day is a sunny day. Every day you're saving money or making money.
Yes, I mean, during the summer we are still at the case of a situation where we're generating far more electricity than we use, and the energy company end up paying us. And that helps offset the more expensive months in the winter.
What simple changes can people make at home right now to reduce energy use and lower their bills?
I've already mentioned turning down the flow temperature on the boiler. Other little ones, and I know this will sound silly, only boiling the amount of water in a kettle that you need. Because a kettle is like having one of those old, you know, the old 3-bar heaters. It's like having all 3 bars of that turned on. That's about how much energy your kettle's using. So if you're only boiling the water you need, you've got it switched on for a lot less time, therefore it's using a lot less energy. Things like washing at 30 degrees in your washing machine and only doing full loads. It's looking at anything that generates heat, whether it's through heating water, heating your heating. They are the biggest users of energy within your home, so they are the things to target first. If you are on all electric and you have an immersion heater, make sure that's not switched on all day. Just have it on a timer so it comes on for a couple of hours in the morning and maybe a couple of hours in the evening if you need it.
Okay, are there affordable ways to make older homes more energy efficient without major renovations?
Yes, I mean, the house we live in was built in 1790. And when we moved in, it was F-rated on the EPC. And now it's up to about a B rating. The most cost-effective thing you can do is loft insulation. The current regulations are about 300 millimetres, so in old money that's about 14 inches. So that is a lot of insulation, but it's also important to make sure you're then not squashing that down by putting boarding on top.
Right.
So you need your loft legs that are plastic legs that sit onto the joists. You then put the boarding on top of that, and that prevents your insulation being squashed. That's one of the best things you can do to your property. And then look at everywhere you might be leaking heat unnecessarily. So looking at the drafts around doors and windows and getting the draft excluder strip put in. Look around your skirting boards, and if you've got gaps there, just use some of a silicone sealant or filler just to fill up some of those gaps. Yes, we all need ventilation, but it needs to be controlled rather than uncontrolled. So they are the best and cheapest things you can do to an old property.
Okay, so you might not be, in a situation at the moment, you might not be able to afford certain things.
Yeah.
But the loft insulation is something that you may be able to get some grants funding for it.
Yes, I say at the moment that we've got the Great British Insulation Scheme. So if you've got an EPC rating of D or lower and you're in a council tax band, I think it's of D or higher, you can apply to the Great British Insulation Scheme and they'll provide you with free insulation. That's only running until the end of March next year. So it's important to apply quickly for that one.
Okay, so if you're listening, get up in your loft, have a little look and see what you've got, because that to me is the first port of call. That's the first. I mean, we can all go around and put, right, okay, want new windows, we want this, we want that, but if you were to sort out the loft first, take a little look, that's probably the biggest step you could take.
Yeah, and with loft insulation, you would lay the insulation between the joists, and then you'd lay a second layer over the top of the joists so that everything is properly insulated.
And I didn't think that earlier on, because you think, okay, people will then put boards across and then put stuff up in the loft and so on. By doing that, it's not going to be as good as keeping...
No, if you squash the insulation, it's not as good. But if you use the loft legs and hold the boarding above the insulation, that's no problem at all.
Do you know what? I've had a look in my loft a few times, and I look up there and I think, wow, that looks so soft and comfy. I know it's itchy. I wouldn't want to sleep in it, but it does look inviting sometimes.
It does. And I've been into homes where part of the loft is insulated and part isn't, and you can feel the temperature difference in the rooms. It's amazing. Until you actually have it done and you have the insulation in there, you don't realise the benefit that will give you.
Okay, so that's but again, we've got to point out that, you know, if you want some advice, you mentioned earlier on there was some funding for certain things, and you mentioned draft excluder and things like that.
Yep.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
Now is really the time to get in touch and start doing these things, because, you know, a couple of weeks' time, you're chucking money away.
Yeah.
If you haven't got things done correctly, you know, the things that you could do, you know, heating will be it's more expensive, and it's going to escape, and it's a waste of money for people if they're not going to do these things. I just think it's common sense, so reach out now. How do energy efficient appliances really compare to standard ones in terms of cost of savings?
They can be more or less than half of the cost to run. If you take things like a tumble dryer, an old-fashioned tumble dryer would cost you between £1.50 and £2 a cycle to dry a load of clothing. A new heat pump tumble dryer will only cost you about 50p to do the same thing. So the cost savings there can be considerable, but you also have to weigh up, there will be a difference in price when you buy it. So what we would say to everybody is, we will all have a budget. If something breaks, we will know we can spend X amount of money on buying a new one. But just try and buy the most energy efficient one you can afford. And as well as the actual kind of A to G rating, if you look on the ticket on the item, it should have how much energy it will use for either 100 cycles or 100 hours or to run for a year. And if you compare those actual energy amounts, that will give you a far better idea of how much that would cost you to run over the year and allow you to compare better. So even two A-rated appliances can be quite different in the amount of energy they use.
Okay, I've got one more question. I didn't realise how you know, time has got on, but this is a personal question, because I've just thought about this. We, as you know, we ripped out our radiators.
Yeah.
And we only had a certain budget that we could replace them with the electric ones. And they're one-offs, so they're plugged in. You can turn that one on if you want it, and so on. What advice would you give people if they'd ripped out their radiators and they're going for the electric ones? What should they look for?
If you're putting electric heating in, the cheapest form of electric heating is a heat pump. After that, the next cheapest is the high heat retention night storage heaters. You can charge those up overnight and they will work as well as kind of old-fashioned gas boilers do, releasing the heat during the day. Those high heat retention night storage heaters are 47% cheaper to run than a plug-in electric heater.
Right.
And a heat pump will cost you less than a third of the cost of one of those plug-in heaters to run.
Okay, that makes sense.
So there's some enormous differences. Anyone that says these plug-in electric heaters are efficient, electricity, apart from heat pumps, can only ever be 100% efficient.
Right. We've got a few for sale then. We've got to go because we've got to get up to the news after a quick song. Thank you very much for coming in. We're going to come back in October.
Of course.
Okay, thank you. And on your bike.